This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning and happy race day along the Gulf Coast. What a beautiful start at 8:06. We have got a huge show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we're going to podcast the show at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. We team up with them and kind of race to bring awareness to a lot of the volunteer fire departments and raise money for them. So what do we have on today? Well, Tim Bryant stopping by, prepping for the 45th annual of the running of the Snowball Derby. Local drivers, they've extended early registration. Tim's on the line. We'll talk with him in just a second about that. And then we've got two-time defending Snowball Derby champion, Augie Grill from Grand American Race Cars. He's had a great year, won several races, and he's gearing up. We're going to talk a little bit about how he and his dad got the shop going when he was young. I think he was like three getting involved in racing, and obviously it has been well worth it. A great competitor, and another one who's done great this year in Mobile International Speedway, taking the Sportsman Champion and the Five Flag Speedway Sportsman Championship. Well, Brandon Fallon will be on the show. So we're really trying to build up these drivers, learn who's going to be some of the top contenders at the Snowball Derby this year. And let's stop and then go to NASCAR. A couple more races. Phoenix from USAtoday.com, SI.com, and AthlonSports.com. Dustin Long standing by. Austin Dillon, have you heard, entering the 2013 Daytona 500? And you'll never guess what number he's running. You might be surprised. And again, Phoenix, this is where Jimmy Johnson has been strong, but here comes Kyle Busch again, pouring it on, taking the lead and a fast time qualifying, a new track record. So Dustin Long will be standing by there, but all the buzz along the Gulf Coast and anywhere in the late model world right now, even at NASCAR tracks, these NASCAR drivers are talking about the Snowball Derby, and it's around the corner. Tim Bryant's already on the way to the track this morning. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Kane. Yeah, it's a busy time for us at Five Flags Speedway. Got a group coming in. It's a work day at Five Flags. Plus, we've got some guys actually coming in doing some testing today. So a busy time, and it's just a short few weeks away.
It's amazing. Yeah, just a few weeks away, like you said. And something you did, which is great, you can now sign up for the Bombers, Sportsman Modified, and Superstock Drivers. Actually, yesterday was a deadline that you could get that cheaper, I guess, entry fee. It helped out a little bit for the people who need to bring tires, bigger teams, and stuff, but you've extended it.
Well, we have, and of course, we always want to make sure that the local division drivers know the Snowball Derby is about them as well. Oh, big, yeah, racing on Thursday night and Friday night over there, and we've extended that early entry deadline, a chance to save a little money. We've extended it through next Saturday. That way, guys that may have new rides or whatever that really need to try them out before they decide if they're going to commit to the race can come over for our Snowball Derby preview day, open test next Saturday. They can run their cars and file their entry same day. So the early entry deadline has been extended to November 17th.
Well, you know, this is, like I said, the biggest race. You've got people from all over the world. You know, we've had Canadian drivers. We've got people from all different states coming. And some of the rules have changed, I think. I'm looking on your website. You've got four tire pit stops allowed for the Snowball Derby. Can you get into that? Also, the Snowflake 100.
Well, you're exactly right. Last year, we experimented as a cost savings measure for some of the race teams to do two tire pit stops, and quite honestly, it really didn't work. A lot of the teams hired some of your NASCAR over the wall guys to come in, and at the end of the day, it made for a lot of traffic up and down pit road as they had to stop twice as many times to get ample amount of tires. So made for some confusion in scoring as well. So back to four-tire pit stops. Honestly, Kane, that's what the fans really like to see, and so that's going to add a little extra excitement to this year's race. The only change in the Snowflake 100 this year, our last chance qualifying race on Saturday afternoon, has been extended to a 50-lap event. We're going to have one 50-lapper as opposed to a pair of 25-lappers that split the field. So guy gets a chance to run a minimum of 50 laps just by entering the race.
That's awesome. And this is such a just to be there, it's a carnival atmosphere. It's like a NASCAR race. I mean, you get up for the day that you race, and you're there the whole time, and we're so excited. And you talk about just leading up to the Snowball Derby, like you said, all these local divisions, and these guys want the trophy just as much as all those late model drivers do.
Well, they really do. It's a it's very prestigious for a guy to say he won the Snowball Derby. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's the Butler U Pull It Bombers or the West Florida Coding Sportsmen or the 300 lap Snowball Derby on Sunday. It's their event, and we want to make sure that they feel an equal part of it.
Oh, you've got the injury list coming. You're getting big names, and you look right now. You've got 5 years of snowball winning at Five Flag Speedway coming with Johanna Long. You've got Chase, our next guest coming up, Augie Grill, and then Kyle Busch is back. So, man, this is going to be a stellar show again.
Yeah, absolutely. The entries are coming in, and you know, Grant Enfinger is in Pensacola preparing a car for this year's race. Mike Garvey, who's had an awesome year up and down the Gulf Coast and other places, is, I mean, everybody is a contender. Of course, you know, they'll all be gunning for Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott, last year's winner, who will come in as one of the favorites. But, I mean, it's really hard to pick an absolute favorite because everybody is so good.
Well, and then now let's talk about the testing day you've got. You obviously have got private testing, which you can still get up to and just call the track or go to fiveflagspeedway.com to do that. But you've got an open test coming up.
Yeah, next Saturday. We call it the Snowball Derby Preview, and it's free admission to the grandstands for any of the fans that want to come out and get a little sample of what they might see on Snowball Derby weekend. I think every division will be represented. Last year we had nearly 100 cars in the pits for the open test. We start practicing at 9 a.m. The pit gates will open at 8:30. It's a $15 admission charge to the pit area. No track rental fee applies. Grandstands are free, as I said, and we're going to practice from 9 a.m. all the way up until 8 p.m. So it'll be a full day out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
If we're coming for the first time to the track, it's not hard to find. You'll have lots of signs up. You'll see it right off the interstate. I want to say, is it exit 5? Is that correct, Tim?
Actually, exit 7.
Oops.
Kane, off the interstate. We're a mile south of Interstate 10. Pretty easy to get to. And maybe next week or so, we can go over some of the parking and that sort of stuff if you have time on your show.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what about camping? Is that completely out of the question? You guys are full, aren't you?
Well, the on-site campground is full. We are doing a spillover, as we've done in years past, at the Interstate Fairgrounds. It's just a mile south yet of the track,
yeah.
And we run a trolley back and forth. Some folks have actually decided that they like it better down there, a little quieter, and it seems to work out pretty well.
Well, as far as teams go, again, you've got an extra week to get your information out there. You can hit their website, fiveflagspeedway.com. It's right there. The website's got all the information you need on it. So, Tim, I know you're just getting ready to open up the track for what you've got to do today, so we appreciate the time, and we'll get you on next weekend. We'll talk more about some of the other drivers that are coming in and obviously keep promoting it. Tickets still available. We can call the track or get them online, correct?
That's correct, 850-944-8400. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Kane. And before I go, from across the bay, we'd like to offer our congratulations. I know it's big MIS banquet weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We'd like to offer our congratulations to Brandon Tipton, Brandon Fowler, Chopper Stagner, Donald Crocker, Josh Bragg, and, of course, Bubba Pollard for their championships at MIS this year.
Yeah, they definitely poured it on, and we're going to talk about that too. So, Tim, we appreciate you as always, and we'll definitely see you next weekend.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Again, Tim Bryant's going to be staying busy probably all the next few weeks. Now, before we head up next, coming up next, Augie Grill going to be standing by. Brandon Fowler, one of those drivers we were talking about who won the championship. I want to talk really quick about a charity race that we've got going on for our friend Red. You heard me talking about it. If your friend's on Facebook, you can go to Full Throttle Racing with Kane, and you'll see the picture of me up there with the race car. Join on. And what is going on? A friend of ours named Red has got the final stages of cancer, and he's a big remote control race car fan, and he's been a racer for years, and we have now teamed up with Hobbytown USA in Mobile at Airport and Schillinger Road, and behind the store they have a huge off-road and dirt oval race, and there's going to be a benefit for our buddy Red, who's got the final stages, like I said, of cancer. So many fans and so many businesses have stepped up. We're going to have a raffle and an auction. It's going to start at 5 o'clock for registration. If you want to race RC cars, you can call Hobbytown USA and get online, find out more information about it, and here's the thing, this is so fantastic. Family fun. You'll have kids racing out there, moms and dads. And just here's a few of the things that we have for the raffle and auction. I've got a lot of them coming in, including autographed Legends trading card from Bobby Allison. You've got a talking mater from Larry the Cable Guy. 4 tickets to the ARCA race at Mobile International Speedway in March. Talladega Super Speedway, they've donated an autographed Kevin Harvick hat with a gift bag. Also autographed race items from Bill and Chase Elliott. Also RC cars be given out, a remote control plane, Sterling Marlin, Matt Kenseth, Tony Stewart. Stewart have all sent us information or autographs, Rick Crawford as well. And there's a lady named Jessica Stedham, and she's in Charlotte, and she's working with Hendrick Motorsports, Michael Waltrip Racing, and some of the other teams trying to help out. And I want to say thank you to FedEx. They're trying to see if they can donate the money to ship some racing tires from some of those teams. So, again, if you want to find out more information about this event, mobilercracing.com is the website, or you can just go onto my Facebook page. We'll take care of it there. But Red is a great guy, great Christian man, and had a love for racing, and he still does. And we look forward to helping out his family for sure. Coming up next, Brandon Fowler. We're talking racing. Still the 45th annual Snowball Derby. Lots to cover. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, don't forget, check us out on Facebook at USFD Racing. It's United States Fire Department Racing. Like that page. You can find out all that we do for that amazing organization. You know, we raise money for those guys who go out and try to, well, give money to the struggling volunteer fire departments, whether it be the small community or the big cities. And we've done a lot of good things. So we appreciate, Jim Board and everybody involved with USFD Racing. And again, you can hear the show later. Podcast at their website, usfdracing.org. So thank you, Tim Bryant, for stopping in, obviously talking about the 45th annual Snowball Derby. Augie Grill scheduled to be on coming up next, two-time defending Snowball Derby champion, and you got to put money on him to take it maybe this time as well. And Dusty Long with SI.com and USATODAY.com, he's standing by. But let's talk sportsman class, probably one of the best racing classes this year along the Gulf Coast. Mobile International Speedway, also at Five Flag Speedway, and the guy who took both championships, man, and did it well. Brandon Fowler's on the show. Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the show, brother.
Okay, good morning, buddy. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, man. Doing good. And let's just talk about this, how close it was at Five Flag Speedway. Now, you are now a five-time sportsman champion, two times at Mobile, three times at Pensacola. And this was a squeaker. I wouldn't call it a squeaker, but it was close between you and Steve Buntrick. It came down to the last race. You took the championship, 732 points to his 726. Talk about the season and the battles that you guys had.
Oh man, I tell you what, it was a long, hard fought battle all year, Kane. I mean, it's just win one of these track championships, you know, is hard enough, but you know, being able to do the two in, you know, one season like we've done, that was just something we're really proud of. And the battle we had with Steve over here in Pensacola, you know, it, like you said, it went down to the wire. We had our nervous moments, you know, that we, you know, was showed a little concern during the season, you know, in some of these races that we had, but we was able to pull it out, buddy.
Well, and you sure did. And you talk about Mobile also. You had great battles with Chad Robinson. You took the win from 972 points to his 944. But there had been a couple races, and I know of one just recently where you tore up the car, or no, I should say the car got tore up. I wouldn't say you did it, but the car got tore up on a Friday night. Man, you guys had to pull overnighters, and I really didn't expect to pull over the hill and see you guys parked down there, and you'd be down there, and you'd be still working on the car, and you'd still run up top. So, and that's what it takes to be a champion, doesn't it?
It sure does, man. And that all goes back, you know, to having a great team. You know, it all starts with my dad, and just a great group of guys that, you know, come and help us on the car, you know, at the racetrack and at the race shop as well. Just got a lot of good friends, a lot of great sponsors that really, you know, make this all happen.
Yeah, and without the sponsors, it's really hard to do whatever class you're in. And we'll hit them in a minute. But, yeah, let's talk about your dad for a second. Your dad really got you into racing because they started back in the day, and he actually raced at Five Flags. How did you grow up into the racing community?
Well, I was born into it, buddy. my dad and his brother Clyde got started back in 1968, which was then called the Spectator class, and which later evolved, you know, in later years to become what we know now as the Sportsman class. And they actually, you know, raced Spectator back then from 68, I want to say, to 73, and then 1974 they moved up and built them a late model. The classes was limited back then. You only had just a few that you could actually run. They had actually a Spectator and a late model class back then, and so I think it was 1974, and Clyde, he was tragically killed in 79, and, you know, just ain't able to be with us today. But that's actually, you know, how it all got started for me, just being born into it, buddy.
Well, did you start, like, in go-karts as well, or did you start off into bomber class? And how old were you?
Actually, I got started in go-karts. Yeah. I was, you know, probably about 19, I think, when I started in go-karts. Oh, wow. And I started in the bomber class back in 2006, racing, you know, here at Five Flags. And later in the season, you know, we gave Mobile a try and instantly fell in love with it. And back to what you were saying earlier, buddy, we only got three sportsman championships. We actually got two in the bomber. We done that in 2007 when we done the Mobile and Pensacola championship season.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to have a target on your back when it comes back to the Snowball Derby, man. There's so many people gunning for you because they know you're the Jimmy Johnson, aren't you? And don't take offense to that if you don't like Johnson. You're the Hendricks, and don't take offense again if you don't like them. But you've got that competition level. And again, you've had sponsors that have backed you through thick and thin, but it's more thick than thin. Tell us about who these sponsors have been with you for a while.
Oh, man, it all starts, you know, with Deering's Custom Cabinets. Mm-hmm. Danny and his wife, Karma, they've been great friends of ours for, you know, long, long time, and decided, I think it was back in 2007, you know, that he wanted to, you know, start helping us out on the race car, and he's been there ever since. And they're the biggest, you know, help we've had to this point, and, you know, certainly appreciate all they've done. But we'd also like to thank Sugar Sands Cleaning Service, Rob and Brendan Pollard, Tim Massey at Tim Massey Construction, Scott McCartney at First Choice Home Improvements, Westfall Auto Glass, Russell Brooks at Russell's Graphics, Randy Brooks and his mom, Miss Jean Brooks, at Brooks Wholesale Jewelry, also Travis Fowler, Race Car Bodies, Chip Bonds, he's helped me a lot with our two-way radio communication needs, you know, he's a good friend of mine as well. There's so many people that, you know, make all this happen, and we certainly couldn't do it without them.
What would you do? You know, we have a lot of kids that listen to this show, and they hear a lot of the champions like yourself come on here, and you talk about hard work. You talk about, sacrifices. Even on a local level, you have to take time to work on your cars to become a champion. We've talked with Bomber champion Brandon Tipton about that. The Day Motorsports, they do the same thing. We obviously do the same thing with our Ford. So to be running in the top, you have to always work on the car and make sacrifices. Is it worth it, and what? And how can you weigh that out?
It is worth it. I mean, you grow, and you know, you gain a lot of knowledge that, you know, that you normally wouldn't have. You know, working on these cars, Kane, just you know, from what my dad's taught me over the years, you know, on, you know, things from changing out wheel bearings, you know, to actually building a small block, you know, engine, you know, from top to bottom, just. That's things that, you know, that I always cherish and always have with me throughout my life, and something I hope to pass on one day to my son.
Well, you know, 2008, you took a trip up to the Pro Late Model Division. I'm not saying you didn't like it, but man, a different ride. And tell us what your what was that year like for your team?
It was the finances, you know, certainly it wasn't there like we would like to have had. Yeah. We had a lot of fun with it. You know, we went up to Raleigh, North Carolina, and bought the car. It was, at the time, you know, seemed like a good fit for what the Pro Late Model class was during that time. Just, you know, by the time we got it up and going, you know, the class had kind of evolved just a little more than what, you know, we could afford at the time. Right. But we had a lot of fun, you know, with what we did here at Pensacola, and I think I'd run, actually, my first time ever, you know, in the 17-second bracket, which was a lot of fun and really fast, you know. that was exciting for me, and we had some good races, you know, come close to winning a couple of eight races over in Mobile, and actually had one of them 100 lappers. I want to say we finished fifth, you know.
And that's almost like a victory in one of those classes.
It was, you know, a lot of, you know, the Top Guns was here, you know, during that time, and just qualifying really didn't work in our favor, but you know, the car stayed consistent, and, you know, throughout the race, and at the end of the race, I think we wound up with a fifth place finish, so we was really proud of that day. So we had our moments, just like I said, the finances just wasn't there, you know, to keep us going in it.
Do you ever get nervous when you strap into that car?
I wouldn't say nervous. It's kind of a an excitement feeling, I guess. You know, you always get that feeling like you, kind of like you, it's a little bit of nerves, I guess. It's just a little touch of like you're ready. You know, you just it's just that feeling that, you know, you fixed to go race and you fixed to get out there and, you know, get after it. And I guess if that feeling ever goes away, that'll be the time I decide, you know, I need to hang up my helmet and do something else.
Yeah, be a car owner, huh?
That's right.
Hey, let me ask you, one other trophy that you would love to have is coming up in December. It's the Snowball Derby. What is going to be your game plan for that race, and how do you prepare mentally for a big race like that? Because that's a big night for you guys and for us. And what goes through your mind? And because that's a different race, man. Everybody, it's so much more aggressive. There's no give. There's all take, you know, and it's in every division. And if someone's going to rub you, they're going to rub you all the way, and you're going to get sent up the wall. So how do you prepare yourself mentally for a race like the Snowball Derby, and why do you do it?
Well, man, I tell you what, it all starts back. It's, you know, the most prestigious race, you know, in short track racing that there is here in the nation, that is the Snowball Derby, you know, that they have every year. And, you know, the first Sunday of December, you know, when they run that, you know, the big 300 lap or so. It's just, you know, the history and the prestige behind it all. You know, you got all the top, you know, late model drivers from around the country that come down here, and they're there during that time that you're out there. And, you know, it's the biggest race for everybody. Like, you know, y'all and you and Tim was talking earlier between the Butler, you pull up Bombers, the West Florida Toting Sportsman, or whether it's the Superstock Modifieds, you know, just everybody that's the one you circle on your calendar every year, the biggest race that you want to win, because, you know, everybody's there, everybody brings their best, and, you know, you see a lot of new cars and a lot of new ideas, and just to be able to say that you're a Snowball Derby champion is something that you'll certainly carry with you, you know, the rest of your life.
I will ask you one more question. I'm sure you probably got stuff to do at the shop today. Usually on a Saturday off race, even if it's not close to the Derby, but we are, you probably got a few things to do. What is going to be your game plan for next year? Obviously, you've got a hot rod. You've won, and you've proven yourself many times over in Mobile and in Pensacola. Is there more traveling in your future for your cars? I think Montgomery, maybe Op, or do you want to still stay and do what you want to do? Maybe concentrate on one track. What are your thoughts? I know your competitors would love for you to stay at one track. What do you want to do?
Well, you know, we would certainly, you know, love to, you know, to move up a class if we could. You know, if the opportunity was there, as far as, you know, what we plan on doing as our personal race team, you know, we're going to keep on running in the sportsman class, and if we got a race or two, maybe in Montgomery or, you know, Op, you know, that we see fit, that, you know, that it's in our schedule that we can do, and we feel like that we can go and be competitive, you know, we'll certainly go and give it a try. But as far as the plans go for right now, we plan on, you know, coming back and running the sportsman class again.
Well, that's good news, and I know you're going to be one of the top picks for Five Flags in the 45th annual of the Snowball Derby. So, Brandon, I appreciate you getting up early, talking with the fans, and talking with us on the air today, and we wish you good luck, and I know I'll see you at the track sooner than later.
Oh, yes, sir, Kane. I sure appreciate you having me on there, buddy.
No problem. Again, Brandon Fowler, a double champion, and you'll be able to actually congratulate him if you're heading over to Rick Crawford's Neon Moon for Mobile International Speedway's big awardwood banquet. It's coming up Saturday. You can look it up on Facebook and find more information. Hang on, Augie Grill and Dustin Long on the way. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway for sponsoring the show. And again, thank you to Tim Bryant prepping for the 45th annual Snowball Derby. It's going to be a huge event the last week and first week of December, November there. Can't wait for it. Thank you also to Brandon Fowler being on the show. And again, hang on. Dustin Long's got news about Austin Dillon entering the 2013 Daytona 500. And you'll never guess what number he's going to run. Again, you might be surprised. You might already know the answer, but we'll have to see. Now, one of the guys who is got to be the top pick for the Snowball Derby, the big event coming up Sunday, has got to be our next guest, and always busy. Glad to have him on the phone and on the show. Augie Grill, good morning. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's so much hype about this event, first of all, and that's why we've really dedicated so much to the show for this event, especially in the off season. Can you tell me why and what is the big deal about the Snowball Derby, as you have two beautiful trophies sitting probably right next to you right now?
It's just been such a big race for so long, and it's at the end of the year, so you know, kind of everybody gets geared for it during the year, kind of plans for it here to finish their season.
Well, you know, you started off the season pretty gosh darn good. Baby Rattler, the Pro Late Models, 100-lapper. You took that at South Alabama Speedway, and you continued to rack up lots of wins. And you went out of your comfort zone and traveled up to NASCAR in the trucks a little bit. And the quote I heard was, man, I'm glad that's over. Can you explain? what was that like? I mean, it's a different beast. It doesn't. And how did you get into that ride again?
Steve Turner was actually a customer of ours. Mm-hmm. A few years back when James Buescher was running late models. And we kind of kept ties with him and just kind of struck a deal to run the one race and possibly more, but I'm not real sure about it more. So it didn't really go the way I'd like, but you can't go off just one race, I don't think.
All right.
But we had a good truck and a decent run going, so I felt pretty good about it.
Would you go back and do it again if it was offered? Maybe a different track, like a Talladega or something like that?
Well, the way you got to do in that stuff, you got to build up with a license.
Gotcha.
Can go to a mile and a half track, but not the real fast ones next, and then on up. And I'm possibly one day maybe be running Talladega or Daytona, but not tomorrow.
That's right. You've got other things going on. And obviously, let's talk about Grand American Race Cars. That's really how you got you started. You started off young, turned into wrenches with your dad's company. Talk about what you guys do for the racing community, because you guys have, what I think I saw on your website, over 300 wins on your cars. Not many people can say that. And your cars, obviously the top winners of the Derby and other races around the country are running your cars. How did you guys get started, and how did you get to where you're at now?
Well, my dad actually, he built his first cars in the middle 70s, mm-hmm. and just kind of built one here and there and would sell it to somebody. And then late 70s, early 80s, he decided just to do it for a full-time job. And I think, too, he actually started Grand American Race Cars.
Mm-hmm.
And through the 80s and 90s, was stayed pretty busy and kind of fell off there at the late 90s, during the late 90s. And we've kind of picked it back up in O's and up till now, and we build quite a few cars every year now.
Yeah, and that, and you've got, just list some of the names of some of the drivers and people that drive your cars.
Well, Chase Elliott, yeah. Bubba Pollard, myself, of course, Boogie Boyette, Spencer Davis.
Wow.
We got quite a few cars out there.
So and there's probably things that you do, you know, obviously, is it hard? There's a fine line there, because you're a competitor with these guys, but you want to give them almost the best equipment. I mean, you do want to give them your best equipment, but obviously, do you have a couple secrets and certain little things you'll just hold back from when you sell these guys to your style of car and say, we're going to try it on mine first?
No, I wish I could do that,
yeah.
But I can. If I pick up on something, I pretty much got to let the customers know,
sure,
to keep them in the loop. And the only thing is, when they hit on something, I don't hear about it.
That's not real. It needs to go both ways, man. Come on, Augie.
Yeah, I agree. But, no, you know, we got pretty smart racers in our staff, and they can take a car and run with it. So it's getting harder and harder to outrun our own customers.
Well, and you talk about that. You look at the super late models at Five Flags. Bubba Pollard, 287. You got second place in the championship points at 224. You talk about one of your clients there, and he's got a new sponsor. And and you look at the competition level, and this is, like you said, the biggest short track race in the nation. And you bring in these NASCAR drivers, David Reagan. You've got, obviously, Kyle Busch going to be there, and other names that, you know, Wallace and all these. So you have to bring your A game, and you've already got two of these trucks. One is an amazing accomplishment. To get two is incredible, and now you're going for three. What do you do differently in that race than what you would do on a regular 100-lap race? Obviously, it's a lot longer, and you have more stops, but mentally, how do you figure out where to drive and how to drive, or is it based on what these guys are doing around you?
Kind of what people are doing around you.
Yeah.
It's hard to they have a plan going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to say I'd go in there and run about 10th place till the last 50 laps.
It just doesn't happen.
But then, but it just, it always plays out different. And I hadn't been able to finish the last three I've been in, so.
Yeah.
I think I got the 2 firsts and a 30th, a 31st, and a 30th. So it's hard to have a plan going into it.
How did you win your first Snowball Derby?
Just had a good car and pitted at the right time. And actually, it was your, me and Matt Hawkins raced. We were first and second pretty much the whole race. And just so happened, I got ahead of him there after we pitted the last time and had a good enough car to stay up there.
Well, let me ask, does winning the Snowball Derby bring other things? Obviously, you get a lot more recognition. You get a lot of media. Has that helped sell cars or bring sponsorships to your team?
To a point, yeah. But I'll tell you what really got us going again. We built Eddie Mercer a new car when he won the Snowball in 2005.
Yeah.
That was the first race he had run with it. So our phone rang off the hook the next year. So
that's good. That was good for
really. It's better for, honestly, business for customers to win races than it is for me to win races.
Yeah. Will you be doing any testing leading up to the Derby, or are you any private testing at all, or are you guys set and ready?
No, actually, I'm driving Stanley Smith car in the Snowball Derby, and he always rents the track Sunday and Monday the week before.
Okay, so you'll get some time
we'll
in the car.
Down there for that.
Yeah. Well, is there any sponsors that are helping you special for this year?
Just the usual, Jenny King Commercial Cleaners, Hedman Hustler Header, Veterans Oil, Penske Racing Shocks, Dubs Thermal Product, Robbie White Racing Engines, and Grand American Race Cars, of course.
Now, of course, you got to get that plug in.
Oh, yeah.
How can we find you if we want to look at your cars and see about possibly getting one?
Just give us a call on the telephone, 205-744-5950.
Well, Augie, I know you've got lots to do and you've got clients' cars to work on, so we do appreciate you taking time this morning and talking about the Snowball Derby and your incredible year this year, and we hope to be seeing you back in Victory Lane at Five Flags in December.
Thank you very much. Sounds good.
All right, thank you much. Again, that's Augie Grill, and that guy's going to be staying busy for sure as he's preparing other clients' cars and his race teams. Man, Augie's going to be one to watch for sure, so good luck to him as always. Coming up next, we shift gears to Phoenix, and what a big race it will be. Man, Jimmy Johnson's got a great car. He's got great history, but then here comes Kyle Busch, a spoiler, and he now takes a new track record. Dustin Long's got it all lined up for us next. Hang on. Hey, welcome back. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks to my Hurricane Motorsports crew, Daniel and the guys at Cooper Tires. Want to appreciate just the hard work ethic that these guys have had all year long in the cars. And as we're preparing for the Snowball Derby, thank you to Cooper Tires. Also, Snap-on Tools coming on board. We've got Tropical Smoothie Cafe at the Legacy Village Shopping Center and Airport Boulevard. Challenger there. You mentioned Kane. They'll give you your smoothie 50% off, by the way. So swing over there. We've got also Advanced Auto Parts. They're a big part of our race team. We appreciate them coming on board for the Snowball Derby. I also know we've got Aaron's Rent-A-Own to go on, Skywatch Traffic, Mobile Metro Glass, the list goes on. So I feel like a NASCAR sponsor sometimes with all the sponsors we have. Very thankful. And as we shift gears, let's talk Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Tony Stewart, and Kevin Harvick. Bringing it all together is Dustin Long. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show again, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. Let's talk about rumors. Let's talk about new track records. And let's talk about Tony Stewart's mouth. I love it, man. The biggest thing in the past day or so was that big news in 2014, Kevin Harvick is leaving RCR, which they will neither confirm or deny. And the media goes to talk to Stewart. And what was his response?
Well, I mean, he just basically said that when he's got something to say, he'll tell us. It's kind of like the same line he's used in the past. But, yeah, like you said, you know, the big news yesterday was just the ESPN report that Harvick has signed with Stewart Haas Racing for 2014, which would, then you'd have a Stewart Haas Racing team of at least Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick, and Danica Patrick. Remember that Ryan Newman has a one-year deal for next year. so there's no guarantee Newman would be a part of that. But if he stayed, then that would be that would help expand Stewart Haas Racing to a four car operation, which was the initial, which is what they've always wanted to do. You know, however, the principals involved, you know, like I said, Stewart wouldn't say anything. Childress, you know, indications seem to be he may have been blindsided by this. A couple of us talked to him. He called the report a bull expletive report. said that Harvick's his driver in 12 and 13, and he's not talking about anything else other than that. Obviously didn't deny it. Harvick, when we finally got him after qualifying, said, I'm focused on 2012 and 2013 and winning a championship in 2013, and that's all I have to say. So again, nobody's addressing this. So obviously, you know, essentially where there's smoke, there's fire, and you can, pretty much expect Harvick to be at Stewart Haas Racing in 2014. So he'll have a lame duck season next year. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, this is not the first time a driver has signed more than a year in advance. Kurt Busch did it years ago when he was at Roush, signing with Penske, and then ended up getting released by Roush at the end of the current season. So he signed like in July of 1 year and got released right in November. So he didn't have to have that full lame duck season. And then you have Casey Kane, who signed with Hendrick Motorsports.
Right.
But, you know, he in 2010, but he had to go through the Red Bull season in 2011 before joining Hendrick this year. So it's something we've seen before. And, you know, what's interesting is Harvick is the guy. I mean, he's always been at Childress. He's the guy who took over that Dale Earnhardt ride after Earnhardt's fatal crash at Daytona in 2001.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, you want to talk about also that organization in news out that Austin Dillon has now entered the 2013 Daytona 500. And, you know, amazing. Guess what number he's going to run? The 3, but not quite. The 33. Tell us about this.
Yeah, he's going to run the 33, and, you know, he'll be entered in the Daytona 500 next year. The plan is for him to run about 6 to 7 cup races next year and then a full-time effort in 2014. So, if Childress were to remain a three-car operation, then in essence, with Harvick leaving, you know, Austin moves into that spot. But obviously, you've got, you know, Paul Menard, Jeff Burton, and things may change there before 2014. And obviously, Childress still wants to get back up to a four-car operation, so he'll still be looking for drivers in 2014. There's a number of drivers who will be free agents, but you know, Austin will drive the 33 in the Daytona 500, but more and more indications are that he is going to drive the 3 cars in 2014.
Yeah.
Childress says that you know, he feels more and more comfortable about having Austin run the 3 car in Cup when he moves up full time, based off the positive fan response that he's got. He called it overwhelming. He admitted that there will be some people who will not like the 3 car returning to the Cup Series, but you know, the indications seem to be that that's probably what's going to happen in 2014, that Austin Dillon will bring the 3 car back to Cup for the first time since that 2001 Earnhardt crash at Daytona.
And my prediction will be he will be the most popular driver that year, beating out Dale Earnhardt Jr. I really think I could see that in the voting, but we'll see. Now, let me ask you, with Austin moving up, how about Ty? Ty Dillon is also in the mix running trucks. What is his next logical step?
Well, I mean, he'll eventually move up, but they're going to keep him. Just as Austin's going to run a full-time Nationwide Series next year, Ty's going to run a full-time Camping World Truck Series race series again next year. And then the plan is, you know, when Austin moves up to Cup the following year in 2014, that Ty would just follow his progression, move up to Nationwide. So that's what you're looking at. They don't want to rush these guys. They want to give them some experience, and I think that's the smart thing to do. There's no sense of you know, putting them up there if they're not ready for the Cup level yet.
Well, you look at Phoenix this weekend, Jimmy Johnson up 7 points over Brad Keselowski. You got to look at where they're starting as well. And how about Kyle Busch turning it on near the end of the season, finding something, setting a new track record?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's really, you know, they've had a couple issues here and there, but for the most part, they run really well in the chase. You know, as he pointed out, they just have not been able to finish things off. And while, you know, he can get some top fives, he's not getting those wins. I think if I remember right, he scored at this point the 5th most amount of points of all drivers. So I mean, if he was in the chase, he would be 5th in the standing. So, I mean, really wouldn't be in, you know, championship contention since it's only between Johnson and Keselowski. But, you know, Kyle's picked up. Kyle is not known for having a strong end of the season. It's kind of been the MO, is that things don't always go well.
Right.
But, you know, certainly this is a positive sign. You know, as for Johnson Keselowski, I mean, you're looking at Johnson starting 24th. It's, you know, he's only started worse in a race this year only two other times. So 27th at Richmond in the spring and, I'll say 37th at Bristol in August. So this is a shorter race, 500 kilometers, 312 miles. But certainly, you know, you can get to the front. Johnson has started outside the top 20 four times in his career at Phoenix. And in three of those races, he's finished in the top five. So, you know, it doesn't mean it's the end of Johnson and,
right.
and Keselowski going to take the points lead necessarily based on their starting position. You know, Johnson starting 24th, Keselowski 14th, and it's the first time since Dover in late September that Keselowski's will have a higher starting position than Johnson in a cup race.
What are the fans saying with about a 2 minutes left of the show? Who's going to be the more popular champion? We kind of touched base with this yesterday. Have you heard anything else? What are people leaning to? Do they want a Johnson, you know, to continue, or do you want this new young kid who's got a chip on his shoulder to become the next champion?
Well, you know, I think what you see is, and the question's been asked a lot, is which driver would be better a better champion for NASCAR at this point? I mean, I think to me, I think it's either one. I mean, if Johnson wins the championship, and I know there are a lot of people who don't want to see that, but if Johnson wins the championship, that's a sixth, and then now you suddenly can begin having a serious discussion about if and when he can tie the seven championships by Petty and Earnhardt, or if and when he will break that mark. And, and certainly that discussion gets into historical perspective. Others will say, look, Brett Keselowski is the better option because he's a younger guy, you know, he gets the you know, not the John, I mean, Johnson's big on social media, but Keselowski's also big. He reaches that younger audience to some degree that NASCAR wants to get. And some people say, look, it doesn't matter who it is, as long as anybody but Johnson to give the sport a fresh look. I think if Johnson wins, I think there will be some people will be happy. I think there'll be others who will just feel, wow, we've seen this and done this over again. Where with Keselowski, it'll be something new. But the fact of the matter is, you know, come Daytona, everybody will be back watching to see what happens in the Daytona 500 in February. So I don't think just because somebody's a champion is gonna turn somebody away from the Daytona 500.
No, we'll be ready. Trust me. Well, to this weekend's Phoenix, you're heading into the track right now. How do we keep track of you and see the latest information and what's going on as it happens?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Dustin Long, D-U-S-T-I-N-L-O-N-G. I'm out here this week with USA Today, so you can check out the coverage of myself and Nate Ryan at usatoday.com.
All right, well, I know you're busy heading into the track, and I know we're going to get it all the way down into next weekend's race, so we hope we have you back if you're available. We appreciate everything you've done for the show this year, and go get them, and we appreciate you working, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That's Dustin Long again with, SI.com, USATODAY.com, and AthlonSports.com. So we appreciate everything he does for the show. And again, I want to thank everybody. Tim Bryant, obviously already at the track getting ready and prepping for the 45th Annual Snowball Derby. Want to thank Brandon Fowler, champion at Mobile, and also Five Flag Speedway in the Sportsman class, and then also Augie Grill, two-time defending Snowball Derby champion. Another reminder, November 17th, bring your kids out. It's going to be out a Saturday night, 6 p.m. at Airport and Schillinger Road at the Mobile Hobbytown USA, doing a huge charity event for Red, our good friend who's in the final stages of cancer, and we're doing everything we can to raise money. NASCAR's come around, celebrities have come around to help out, from Larry the Cable Guy to even more. You can follow us on Facebook at Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Look us up, and I'm going to have a complete list of all the goodies that we're going to be auctioning it off and stuff, and it's for our friend Red. God bless you. We love you, and by golly, we're going to beat this cancer crap. We sure are. No Shave November continues. You can see some of the photos of my grizzly ugly face. You know, just be prepared. I'm a lot of gray in that thing. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my mom for listening. I love you, Mom, all the way up in Indiana. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com, and they may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.